Well, hello and welcome to this English lesson about the factory. I'm not sure if you have worked in a factory. I have never worked in a factory, but I think I did enough research and I talked to enough people who do work in factories that I can say that I could for sure do a good English lesson on the words and vocabulary you would need to know to talk about working in a factory or to just talk about factories in general. Growing up, some of my friends' parents worked in factories. My parents, obviously, we lived on a farm, so we worked on the farm. Some of them worked in factories that made cars. Some worked in factories that made bread. Some worked in factories that made like little lights that went on trailers. I know it's kind of hard to explain, but definitely factories are these large places where people are able to make things. So, once again, welcome to this English lesson about the factory. A factory. So what is a factory? Well, in simplest terms, it's a gigantic building or a collection of buildings where things are made. Probably the main purpose of a factory is to have workers do something, and at one end, parts or ingredients or pieces go into the factory, and at the other end, something comes out that people can buy. Now, it doesn't always have to be that refined, but certainly with a car factory, everything that you need to build a car goes in one end, and at the other end, brand new cars are completed. So a factory is a place where things are made. There are a lot of factories near me in a town called, or in a city called Hamilton, Ontario. It's a city, but it's often referred to as a steel town. You might have a steel town close to you as well, where they do a lot of things with steel. But a factory, a place where things are made. We have a few different words for different factories here in Canada. And I do want to mention that some of this vocabulary may be specific to my part of Canada. Okay, so we sometimes call a factory a plant. In fact, in Canada, if you go to a factory that makes cars, we often call it a car plant. So when you work at the plant, it means that you work in a factory that makes cars or something else. It doesn't mean that it's not talking about flowers or trees, the other kind of plant. But I do know that if you drive west in Ontario, eventually you get to a town called Ingersoll. And there are car plants in Ingersoll. I think there's a Suzuki plant. I think there is maybe a Toyota plant. I could be wrong on that, but there are car plants. So kind of a funny way to refer to a factory, but we do have plants. And then we also have what is called a mill. So a mill would be a factory that produces paper. A mill produces steel. A mill produces textiles, like fabrics. So you could work at any type of mill. A friend of mine worked at the steel mill in Hamilton. So a steel mill is a large place that mills steel. The process of milling usually means to take pieces to make something else. For a paper mill, they take tree fiber and all of that, and they turn it eventually into paper. A textile mill would take threads and eventually turn them into blankets and shirts. And a steel mill would take raw steel and turn it into maybe nails and screws and other little things made out of steel. We also have what is called a foundry. Now, a foundry is a type of factory where they melt metal into its molten form, and then they pour it into molds to make certain things. So a foundry could work with brass, I think copper, steel, anything that can be brought down, probably iron, not steel. I'm not 100% sure. You guys can fact check me on this. But to me, when I think about a foundry, I think of a place like this where they are making something, some sort of metal that is in its molten state. That means it's in its liquid, very hot liquid form. And then they can pour it into molds to make things. When it cools down, it will be in a different shape. We also have what's called a refinery. Now, I'm not 100% sure I would call this a factory, but a refinery would take something like crude oil and turn it into gasoline or diesel. A refinery takes natural resources or raw materials and turns them into something that's more refined. We have a verb for that as well. You will definitely see smokestacks at some factories. That didn't really make sense, did it? At some factories, you might see smokestacks because factories might do things that require a lot of heat. They have to get rid of that heat. Factories might burn natural gas or they might burn coal and they need to get rid of that heat. So one thing that you will often see outside of a factory or beside a factory is a smokestack. Basically a really, really tall chimney that's used to get rid of exhaust gases or just excess heat or whatever they need to get rid of. So in English, we usually talk about mass production. When you mass produce something, it means you do it in quantity. The best example I can give is I can make a loaf of bread at home, but I can't mass produce bread. I'm not capable of that. I only have one oven and two hands. But a factory would mass produce loaves of bread. A factory can mass produce cars. I could build a car at home. Okay, I actually couldn't, but I could try. But I couldn't mass produce cars. When you mass produce something, it means you make like basically millions of the same thing. It could be thousands, but millions or thousands of the same thing. So this factory is set up to mass produce bread, to produce lots and lots of loaves of bread, which probably all look the same. We also refer to the whole process as manufacturing. So when you talk about factories in general, or when you talk about a country that has a lot of factories, you might say something like, Japan is really good at manufacturing, or that country has a really good manufacturing industry. So when you manufacture something, the process of manufacturing, it means to build things or to make things, but usually in more of a factory setting. So in a factory, the main part of the factory we often refer to as the factory floor. So you might know someone who works in a factory, but they might work in an office. They might have a nicer job. Or you might know someone who works in a factory and they're out on the factory floor. That means they're one of the workers doing the actual work. A friend of mine who worked at a steel company, actually my cousin worked at a steel company, and he worked in an office, but my other cousin worked on the factory floor. One cousin programmed computers in the steel industry. The other one was out on the factory floor actually moving stuff around. So the factory floor is the area of the factory where people work. Safety barrier. So we'll talk about some of the things that you will see in a factory. Factories can be somewhat dangerous. There are lots of things moving in a factory. There might be carts, there might be forklifts, there might be things that lift stuff up and down. There might be elevators, there might be cranes, there might be little hand carts. So sometimes you will see safety barriers. So if you see these little yellow things, pretty much in Canada, anything in yellow is there for safety or to partition or divide things. There might be yellow lines on the floor. There might be yellow and orange barriers. That's another color we often use. But a safety barrier is something that's designed to keep a worker safe. Doesn't have to just be in a factory, but you will definitely see safety barriers in factories to protect people. In a factory, you might see an overhead crane. These are pretty cool. An overhead crane moves along the ceiling of the factory, and then a hook can come down and go up and move back and forth. So this overhead crane, you can see he's using it to lift up. It looks like a pallet, maybe of cardboard or something. So you can see at the top, there is the hoist part of the crane. That's the part that will, you could call it a winch as well, but it will pull the hook up and down. And then the blue part can move back and forth along the yellow part of the crane. And then the entire thing can move along the length of the building. So a very handy machine to move things. It can lift very heavy objects and move them for people. So it's called an overhead crane. You will definitely see conveyor belts in most factories. A conveyor belt is just a long belt. It's usually a black belt like this, and it moves. And so when things are being manufactured, instead of having people carry it from one part of the factory to the other, they simply go on a conveyor belt. The conveyor belt moves, and either a person puts things on the conveyor belt and maybe takes them off, or a machine might put things onto a conveyor belt and take them off. Even something like bread in a bread factory would go on a conveyor belt. And the conveyor belt might even loop to cool the bread off. But a conveyor belt, simply a long moving belt used to move things in a factory. And then we have, of course, the assembly line. I think invented by Henry Ford, the assembly line is simply a long line, a long place where something moves along and it goes from nothing to something. So this is an assembly line that makes doors for vehicles. So it probably starts with just the metal part of the door. And then as the assembly line carries that first piece along, people or robots add pieces to it. So it probably starts with someone hanging the metal part of the door, the bare metal. And then the next stage, maybe they put the glass in the door. The next stage, maybe they put all the switches into the door. The next step, maybe someone puts the nice fabric on the door. The next step, someone might put the outside handle on. So an assembly line is designed so the workers don't need to move. The workers can stay in one spot. And the thing they are making slowly goes by and each person adds their specific part. I have never worked on an assembly line, except that one time I was potting plants, but it can be a little bit repetitive and I think probably a little bit boring. And then we also can sometimes just use the word production line. We use production line to talk about an assembly line where maybe they're not actually putting pieces together. Like this line produces bread or little breads or buns, I think. So you could say this is a production line too. They're producing car doors. But if you're talking about something that doesn't need to, you know, be screwed together or clicked together, you might simply call it a production line. Along an assembly line or in a factory in general, there is going to be a lot of machinery or equipment. These are general terms to refer to the things we use in a factory to make things. So if you worked in, let's say, a factory that made wheelbarrows, you would probably have a machine that helps you put the rubber onto the rim of the tire. There's probably a machine that makes the handles. There's probably different pieces of equipment. One piece of equipment might paint the wheelbarrow. So these are general terms to refer to all of the things that humans use when they are making things, machinery or equipment. Then we also have automation. So automation refers to replacing humans with machines that do the same work. So in this picture, I think the human is simply making sure that the machine is working correctly. So they have automated the process of, I think, packaging whatever this is. I think way on the other side, that's a packaging machine, and it probably puts candy in a package and then seals it. So a long time ago, a person probably did that. But now we have automation and things are done by machines. I know automation can be frustrating for people because sometimes people lose their job because a company or factory decides to automate a certain process and then people don't do it anymore. Robotics. So robotics refers to the use of machines that can think a little bit, right? So this is called a robotic arm. You will often see robots in factories, but they don't look like they don't walk around like, hello, I'm a robot. It's not like that. It's usually a robotic welder, or maybe in this case, it's a robot that can move packages. usually you will see a robotic arm. In a car factory, you'll see a robotic arm doing welding, robotic arms painting, and all of those different things. And then a couple of things about people who work in factories. We often refer to someone who works in a factory as a factory worker. We use the word factory to describe the worker. Does your brother-in-law work in construction? No, he's a factory worker. He works at the General Motors plant. Okay, that would be a common way to describe a person. When you say factory worker, it kind of specifies the type of worker that person is. So construction worker, factory worker, farm worker, etc., etc. And then we have a supervisor or manager. I'm assuming the person pointing is the supervisor, or maybe the person with the clipboard. Maybe it's two managers. And then they don't know what they're doing, because usually the workers actually know what they're doing. Sorry, if you're a manager, I'm making fun of you a little bit. But you might call this person a floor manager. You might call them just a manager or supervisor. It is the person who is in charge of other people. So if I worked at a factory and if I was a floor manager or if I was a supervisor, there might be 20 or 30 people working at the factory in my area. And I'm the person who trains them and tells them what to do and lets them know if they're doing something wrong. And there are unions at factories. So a union, these don't exist at all factories, but in Canada, generally in our manufacturing companies, there are unions. Unions are when workers decide to join together when they talk to the boss or the company about how much they're going to get paid. It's a little hard to describe, but unions generally help workers get better working conditions, better pay. It helps workers to be treated better. Most factories, I would say almost all factories in Canada, have unionized workforces. So they join a union. They pay a little bit of money to the union. And then when it comes time to talk about how much the workers will get paid, the union represents all the workers. So unions have power because they can also go on strike. The union can decide our workers aren't going to work. And then they stand outside and protest. But when unions work well, it's good for the company and it's good for the union workers. Everyone benefits when unions work well. Let's talk about some of the things people wear in a factory. You will most likely be required to wear a hard hat. A hard hat is actually made of plastic, but it's very, very tough plastic and it's meant to protect your head. It's very important when there are things moving and things above you and things that can maybe fly towards you that you have something that protects your head. So we call this a hard hat. In Canada, when I worked in construction, workers wore a hard hat and the supervisor, or what we called the foreman, wore a white hard hat. So we wore yellow hard hats and they wore a white one. I don't know if that's true. I think it's reversed in some other industries. You would definitely wear safety goggles or safety glasses. So I would call these goggles. These aren't safety glasses. These are reading glasses. But you might also have glasses that are made to protect your eyes, and we would call those safety glasses. So again, in a factory, there might be sparks. There might be little things flying. There might be the potential for something to hurt you, and you wear eye protection in order to prevent that. And definitely in some factories, you would be required to wear hearing protection. You might wear hearing protection that goes over your ears, like these red ones here, or you might just have earplugs, things that actually go in your ears. I have all of these on the farm. I prefer the hearing protection, the little earplugs that you put in your ears. When I operate the tractor, I will wear those, but a factory can be a very, very loud place. So loud that it could damage your hearing, so you would wear hearing protection. You might wear a safety vest. A safety vest is designed to make you more visible. It won't protect you if something hits you, but it makes it easy for other people in the factory to see you. So if you work in a place where maybe someone drives a forklift around, or maybe people are operating equipment that they can move, or even if people just walk really fast, you might be required to wear a safety vest so that you are highly visible. And then you might have to wear work gloves. So these are a pretty common type of work glove in Canada. They're usually made, the palm is usually made of leather. The glove itself is usually made of leather or another very, very tough fabric. And work gloves are meant to protect your hands. They don't necessarily keep your hands warm. Like a normal pair of work gloves is more to protect your hand. It's not to keep your hand warm. That being said, you can buy work gloves that are insulated, so they protect your hand and keep your hand warm as well. But this would be, if you went to a store in Canada and said, do you have any work gloves? This is what they would look like. Those are definitely work gloves. And then we also have what are called work boots or steel-toed boots. A work boot is meant to protect your foot. I was going to say feet. Work boots protect your feet. A work boot protects your foot. And generally, it has a number of things built in to do that. The toe is either made out of steel or some sort of very, very hard material. So if something landed on your foot, you would not get hurt. The steel toe in the boot would stop it from crushing your foot. Usually the bottom of a steel-toed shoe or a steel-toed boot has a thin metal plate in it or a thin plate in it so that it can't, like if you step on a nail wearing work boots, the nail can't go through, okay? So that's another thing. It might have protection along the sides or top, but generally it will have protection for the toe, sometimes for the ankle, and then definitely for the sole of your foot. In Canada, if you look, you can see a little green triangle on the side of the boot. This indicates that it is an approved work boot. You have to have a green patch, a green triangle on your work boot for it to be considered the right work boot to be wearing. And then we have something called a forklift. I'm not sure if they call it this in other parts of the world, but we also call it a tow motor. I think tow motor is actually the name of a company that makes forklifts, but a forklift is a small machine that you can drive around and it has forks that you can use to lift pallets. So a pallet, I should have had a picture of a pallet, but if you look at the far end of the forklift, just above the forks, a pallet is something made of wood or plastic so that the forks of a forklift can go in and lift it easily. So often a factory will make things and put those things on pallets so that you can move them around easily with a forklift. And then factories sometimes create pollution, not always. We saw that with the smokestacks as well. In Canada, we are trying very hard to reduce the amount of pollution created by our factories. Certainly, this type of pollution in Canada is illegal. You can't simply put dirty water or toxic waste into rivers and lakes. It's just not allowed. But we are working on our emissions now. So that's the smoke and pollution that comes out of a smokestack. But yes, sometimes factories do cause pollution. When a factory is done making something, they usually put it in a warehouse. So a warehouse is a gigantic building where things can be stored, usually on very sturdy shelves. You can see there's all pallets here with things on the pallets. So they used a forklift to put those things on those shelves. You might even have a warehouse at the other end of the factory. So a car plant, for example, a car factory, they might have a warehouse that has all the parts. And then at the other end, they might have a warehouse where they park the cars. Although usually they park the cars outside, don't they? That's probably a bad example. Let me try to think of another example. At a bread factory, They might have a warehouse that has flour and sugar and all the ingredients in bags. And then at the other end of the factory, they might have a warehouse filled with bread in bags ready to go to the stores. But a warehouse is simply a very, very large building where you can keep things for a day or a week, and eventually it will go out to stores or other places. And then there's also something called quality control. So quality control is when, let's say you worked at a bread factory, you probably take one loaf of bread every hour from the production line, and you might even taste it or test it to make sure the people and the machines and the equipment are making the bread properly, okay? So quality control happens at the end of the process. If you were in, let's say you worked in a factory that made taps, you would probably take one tap for every 1,000 you make and test that tap to make sure it has been built properly. Quality control. So this might also be a Canadian term, I'm not sure, but we have different areas in our towns and cities. We have residential areas where people live. We have commercial areas where you find stores. And then we have the industrial area where you find factories and businesses. We sometimes call these industrial parks. They're not really parks. It's kind of a funny use of the word park. But if you go to my local town, there is an industrial park, and there's a factory that makes, I think it's closed now, but a factory that used to make fertilizer, a factory that used to, oh, there's a factory that makes packaging, but it's in the industrial park. So you could just call it the industrial part of town, but in my part of the world, we would refer to the area of a town or city where there's lots of factories. We would call it an industrial park. Hi, Bob the Canadian here. Thank you for listening to this English podcast lesson. If you would like to support me in the work that I do as an online English teacher, please visit patreon.com/BobTheCanadian.